once again, the Success Is My Religion podcast is partnering with the HBCU Experience Movement. We are interviewing the co-authors of the North Carolina A&T State University's third edition book that is coming out soon. I hope you enjoyed these episodes. Next up, we got Brittany Dennis. She writes her own bio, and I'm going to read it in her words. Born in the New England state, Portsmouth, New Hampshire, I was born with blue and gold running in my veins. I am one of a dozen Aggies in my family to graduate and find love at North Carolina A&T. I met and married my husband of 9 years at the number one HBCU in the world. We gave birth to our future Aggie in 2015. I graduated in the fall of 2011 with a Bachelor's of Science in Elementary Education and later obtained my Master's in School Administration in the spring of 2020. Prior to my second graduation during the fall of 2019, I became a member of the first and finest Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, initiated into Sigma Kappa Omega chapter in Greensboro, North Carolina. In May of 2020, my husband and I paid off $115,000 in student loans, becoming student debt free. I currently serve as a teacher consultant with the new teacher project, partnered with Guilford County Schools. I am a member of the North Carolina Association of Educators. I play a role in two historic teacher walkouts while also serving public schools. Later in my career, I worked alongside NEA, National Education Association, in working to recruit, support, and maintain new educators at both a local and national level. North Carolina A&T has shaped almost every aspect of the success gained and earned throughout my adult life. I hope y'all enjoyed this episode with Brittany Dennis. Welcome to another episode of the Success Is My Religion podcast. I am your host, Michael Taylor. I'm here with Brittany Dennis, another fabulous North Carolina A&T State University Aggie. Aggie Pride. There you go. Tell us a little bit about you and how you got to North Carolina A&T State.
Well, thank you for having me. Yes, I am Brittany Dennis, originally from Portsmouth, New Hampshire. So I am on the East Coast, but by way of a little New England state. And I come from a host of Aggies. So several people in my family went to A&T, my mother, I met my husband there, but A&T is part of our lives. It's kind of just like what we do. And I tell people like a running joke in my family is that like, it's the tradition of going to A&T. If you go to another HBCU, you're kind of like the black sheep of the family. But in my household, especially, I remember my mother telling me, like, if you don't go to A&T, like, I don't know who's going to help you, like, fund you through school. And so
it was like that.
It's kind of like a non-negotiable. And so very much grew up knowing like blue and gold was the only way to go. And I've been going to homecomings at A&T since I was like six. So I tell people about the time I finally got there. I was on like my 15th homecoming because A&T is all that I know. So definitely excited to explain my experiences because I'm definitely an Aggie family.
And what was the most memorable experience then, if you well, maybe that's too tough of a question, but yeah, we'll give it a shot. Like, what was one of your most memorable experiences?
It's actually ironically not that tough. So Auntie, I mean, obviously, I have so many great memories, but one of my fondest, and I tell people I'm not a year girl. So historically, I would never be able to tell you, like, in this year, this happened. However, this one left such a big imprint. Like, I'm like, this is the only time I'm probably gonna remember a year, with the exception of my son's birth. So in 2008, Barack Obama was elected as president, of making history, first African American, a male to become president. And I will never forget the experience on the campus. We were, this is like pre-group me, pre-group chats, pre, like, when we like worked to establish things. So this was just an organic moment. And so we're all on campus. Everyone is glued to a TV. We're all in the dorms. And I mean, it is like excruciating waiting, and we're looking in. I mean, it's all in his favor. It's looking good, and it's not even, it's before midnight, because I remember they called it so early. And so we're all at our seats, and it finally flashes on the screen, and that he's officially won. And I remember a deafening roar of like celebration and cries, and like, I mean, you could hear people running up and down the dorms. And so I open my door to run out, and I mean, people have whistles, and they're cheering, and they're jumping, and you can feel the energy. Like, just, I mean, it was just unequivocally, everyone was, in support of this. And so we go outside, and people are honking horns. The campus is flooded with people. We I remember people jumping into the fountain, swimming in the fountain. Like, cannot make this up. It starts to rain, and we are
Oh, man.
cheering and chanting and doing
In the
laps
rain.
around campus in the rain. And I tell people, like, I wish that I could bottle that feeling and sell it, because there was such a prideful, but also like understanding of unity, that it was just, we were all from different backgrounds, and although our blacks looked very different in that moment, it was like we felt like we had like made it, and we knew that like we had made a difference. And so I will never forget that experience, because that was one of a kind.
That's very interesting. Do you think it would have been different if like you had cell phones with cameras like we do now?
I want to say it might have been a little bit better, because I think it could have been captured, because we're
Capture.
in that, like, if it's not videoed, it didn't happen. So I think the moment still would have been just as momentous, but I think that it probably would have been captured in a different way. But honestly, to be completely honest, I'm almost excited that we weren't in that area, because people were really just in the moment. Like, it was, we were like, I mean, this was like black girls running in the rain, like, we don't get our hair wet. So this was 100% like we were just in the moment. And yeah, like I said, it was, it's one of those things I will never forget. And I mean, I'm certain maybe we were only out there an hour or so, but it felt like a lifetime. And it was just, it was just a great feeling. When it was everybody, it wasn't like, oh, like this was the entire campus, and we were just out. And I mean, it was great. It was great.
I do have to tell you that is like one of the best stories I've ever heard. Like I felt it. I felt all of that. I felt all of that.
It was
It's
awesome.
so you are in education.
Yes,
Tell me a
yes.
little bit about that. You said you seem passionate about that too.
Okay, yes. So we don't have enough time
Yeah,
to
we
go
gonna try because I'm in
down this
education
road.
too.
I'm gonna
I
give
forgot to
y'all.
mention that.
Oh yes, come on, educators. So yes, definitely education. Education is almost just aligned with the Aggie thing. Like, I've been wanting to be a teacher since I was little. So I tell people, like, everybody was playing house, and I'm not above house. I played house, but like my game was teacher. Like, everybody did fake fire drills. That was my jam. Very much, just school was my safe place. So I tell people, my father actually passed when I was 4 years old. My mother was a very young widow, and school kind of just became like what I knew. Like, I had a lot of like different things going on, of us getting back on our feet, but school was just very much of like my safe place. It was consistent. It was something I did well in. And I knew that there was something normal about school. And my mom valued education. So she very much instilled in me that school can take you any place. And so because I already knew, like, I want to go to A&T and I want to be Aggie, I already was interested in their programs. And so I get to A&T. And the very first year, I see a bunch of mentors and professors that not only look like me, but like want the best interests and speak like me. They're very intelligent. They have a wealth of knowledge. But there's also a side of them that's like, I'm the mama bear when your mom's not here. And I'm gonna make sure like you take your Jordans off and put on some pumps and take off your jersey and throw on a pea coat. So they very much molded me and polished me and showed me that, like, you can still be your unapologetic self, but just articulate, you know, like, make sure you present yourself the Aggie way. And so very much immersed myself into the educational program, which was amazing. And my professors actually are the ones who prepped me for my interviews. They are the ones who, like, helped me through my licensure program. And so I later graduated, started teaching in my local county in Title I schools, because again, like I tell people, like that was me on paper for many years, especially with being a product of a single mom for part of my life. So definitely started off in Title I schools, and by my fifth or sixth year, really fell in love with all learners, not just student learners, and decided like I wanted to do more. I was like, I want to help adult learners just as much as I push student learners. And of course, because my alma mater is amazing, one of my professors reached out to me within my seventh year and just was like, look, I'm seeing you do great things on Facebook. You need to go back to school and get your master's. And I was just not in a place to receive that at the time. I just had a baby and I was just like, I don't know. And so she's like, I got you a partial scholarship. And I was like, okay, I'm in.
Right.
I was like, I'm in. And so, fast forward, COVID grad, so graduated with a master's in administration and went into straight into coaching. And so that opened up so many doors. Thank God that my professor saw something in me I didn't see myself. And so now I'm currently working as an effectiveness coach with not just one school, but with 14 schools. So I'm instructing instructional coaches and administrators on how to better equip their teachers to better serve our students, and loving every minute of it.
Nice. So, interesting question.
Yeah.
I don't know how to phrase it or whatever. What is the solution to our education system? In your
that's such a loaded question. Shame on
it
you.
It is loaded.
No wonder you're trying to stumble to get it out. Shame on you.
Because you have a different perspective. But let me kind of explain, like, my perspective. My perspective is, like, I am personal development and, like, for students and parents. So I'm on that end. I think you're kind of on the other end of, and you probably dabble in like students and stuff and parents and stuff. But like I come from the perspective of, this is my own thinking, is that going directly to the parent and the student and educating them on how to use the system will be a better an added benefit to the school system as it changes for more towards diversity is my perspective. I kind of want to see your perspective, because you're from the, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, from the administrative and teaching the teachers and the administration how to be better effective for our students. And I think that's interesting, because like I never wanted to get into that. Like I don't care about adults, really. it takes too much to change adults. Like, yeah, so I'm just like, y'all gonna be the same way, but I can get to these students' head and I can help help them and their parents work together as a team to navigate this process. And I kind of like that a little bit more. I like strategic type stuff.
Absolutely. So yes, you're right. The adult learners are definitely more challenging than student learners. So I can pin and stamp that for sure. But I think you're not giving me the benefit of the doubt of how much I am very much a parent advocate. So I do work around parent advocacy. I also did some work with their cohort in North Carolina in our teacher union called Educators of Color. And so one of the missions was just the work that you're explaining to make sure that we educate our what we call community partners, which would be our parents, but not just our parents, our community partners, like our friends that went to school for a trade, but not necessarily went to college, our cosmetologists, our barbers, because they also have a wealth of knowledge that we want to bring to schools as well. And so by partnering with them and also educating them, we're training them to be advocates for their own like education, right? And so some of that work very much looked like parent workshops that lended themselves to not just like educated parents of color, but also like EL parents, parents that spoke another language, so that they knew like there are certain resources that your side of the tracks might not know about, and it's important that you take advantage of. But also what that work looked like is building relationships, right? And making sure that even though the parents, we wanted them to be advocates, we don't want them to see as like the enemy or put us on this pedestal. So my work also looked like partnering with teachers and even ANT student chapter as well, and making sure that teachers knew the relationship you have with your parents is just as powerful as the one that you have with your students, because all parents are their first teachers. Like your parents are your go-to. I tell people all the time, I can learn a lot about your child and learn a lot about you from your child's actions, because like yes, I like I had students that like come to lunch and every single day they're like saying grace, won't let me eat without grace. I'm like, there's a praying somebody in your home, right? Like, so I can tell a lot about parents through their children. So that was definitely some of the work, and I do believe that that parent connection is important. Honestly, I don't know that we have a like one set solve for public education right now.
No, we don't.
Like not at all. But I do tell people, I definitely think in some of the advocacy work that I've been a part of, playing a role in making sure two major things. One, that we're fully funding public schools, because the underfunding plays a major has a major impact in why public schools are not doing as well as they could be. So I definitely think we need to stop undercutting public education as much as we do, because I think if we fully funded schools, then the parents would have the resources they need, the teachers would have the resources they need. Like, I think there would be a wealth of help that would go around much, much further than right now, where everyone's like robbing Peter to pay Paul. But I also think there's a need for community-based schools where we really like dig into relationships and give teachers the support they need with building relationships with parents, but also again, those parents feeling comfortable to come to us and say, hey, like this is what I need help with beyond the curriculum. Because if basic needs aren't met, then whatever we're teaching out of these books is going to be like for nothing. So definitely think there's not one fix, but if we had to start somewhere, I tell people like fully fund public education, that's a great start.
That's interesting. That is interesting. I mean, there ain't one simple answer to it, and it's a multiple things that we all have to do, and we all are playing our part to help our students and families and teachers. You are, like I said, I don't care about
Mm-hmm.
the adults. No, I do. I do. I work in the I am the dual credit coordinator type person.
Oh, okay, yeah,
So,
absolutely, yeah.
our district pays for all of the dual credits for our students. So getting them aware of the those that opportunity if they go going to college, if they have good enough GPA and all of that stuff, let's get you in these college classes so you can get these free credits
Absolutely.
and get out of here. But I mean, I'm not at one of the greatest schools. I mean, but the students that I work with are they're coming around after almost 9 weeks. They starting to come around because it's like it was like a culture change. We came back from COVID,
Yeah.
or they've been off since they're not off, but virtual since their sophomore year. They're coming back as seniors full time, and it's almost like a culture shock.
I think it is for all of us. Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I just there's a lot of things that could change, and I'm just playing my part. Where I'm gonna focus with what I'm gonna do for the rest of my life is straight to student and parent. Like, I need you to understand how to navigate, how to develop yourself. If you don't have any mentors, if there's nobody around that can help you, like there's resources online. Like, there's this
Yeah.
people that are famous that give inspirational speeches, and they give you some of the keys to success. You have to put them together yourself, and that's a little bit harder, but I don't think there's a mentor for everybody in
Yeah.
the world. So if those people that don't have it, like, we have to still figure it out. That you can't just wait on somebody to come save you. Let's figure it out with the pieces that are available to us. And that's what I do with my upcoming work and the work outside of my actual job and job description.
Yeah, that sounds like great work. We need more of that.
I know. I mean, and I've been researching it, so I came up with my own philosophy for individual achievement, and I based it off my life. And well, I didn't base it off. Well, it's just a culmination of me studying my own life and my route and my path. And I didn't have anybody to guide me through and talk me through what I needed to hear, because like I was always a bright student and I was always thinking forward and I was thinking two, three steps ahead of time. But nobody was on that level, even my teachers and the counseling staff or whatever. So now when I talk to students, I'm getting them to plan to be able to be a creator of their lives and not just to be sitting by reacting to what life gives us.
Right.
And I tell them all the time, people, wealthy people have options. Poor people react to circumstances.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And they, but it, they have options, or they can put themselves in position to have options.
Yeah.
So just like with choosing a school, I'm like, do you want to stay close to home? Do you want to go a
Right. Can
little
you
bit further
afford to go
away?
further? Yeah.
Right. Is money the biggest issue? Because then you make that your I'm gonna go to the cheapest school I can go to, and then you start having options after that. Like money is the number one thing. All right, this is the school that's gonna give me the most money. This is the school that I'm not gonna pay as much. So what do I need to do at that school to make the most out of that experience? And now you get into the options. Hey, I can go into this field, this good school is good for this. And this and this, you know what I mean? And
Yeah.
that's how I'm getting them to think. Like, you don't have to stay in the same area. You can still move away a little bit, experience something, like, and create this experience. And you don't just have to go. Like, the community college is like less than a mile from the school that I work at, so it's like No, like don't just go there because you're gonna be hanging around the same people, coming
Right,
back to the
aspire to,
same.
yeah, branch off, yeah.
Yeah. And their schools are, I'm in Kansas City, Kansas. So there's schools all over Kansas that, I mean, they're out there, but shoot, you can go there. I mean, and we're introducing them to HBCUs. There's an HBCU college fair coming up
Oh,
in a
yes.
week or so. So I mean, they got options. They got options.
No, I think
And
you're doing right. Continue to expose them. Some, you know, they say you can't be what you can't see. So, you know,
yeah,
sometimes it's just that exposure.
you can't be what you can't see. And I tell them, you can only see as far as your expectations. So if you expect to just go to community college, that's as far as you can see. But expanding that to, hey, I can go to community college, yeah, that's cool, but let me explore these other areas and see where it takes us. And that's all I'd be asking. Just explore. Have an imagination. You don't know what's out there. We're trying to give you a picture. We bringing people in. You can talk to all of this stuff, but if you don't expand your
Mindset.
yes,
Yeah.
you'll never experience the things you're supposed to experience to get to the next level, to get to success. And I tell them, I'm taking, sorry, we're gonna get back to you, but
It's okay. I like education, so.
yeah, I tell them all the time, like, I don't care where your family is at in their but you are supposed to push your family to the next level. You have to take your family to another level, no matter where you come from.
Yeah.
Like you are meant to, you're not meant to just, if even if you come from a rich family, you still got to
You got
push
to
that.
exceed, right? Yeah, you're supposed to
Yeah,
exceed,
you got to push the
absolutely.
family forward.
Yeah.
So wherever you start from, wherever your family, you think your family is, you got to push it a little bit further.
Yep.
And whether you can push it a little bit or a lot, that's up to you. But I just need you to push a little bit further. Just don't stay in the same with the same environment, because that was the first thing that I looked at when I was 18 years old, about to go off to college. I was like, nobody in my family went to college, so I see how that turned out.
Right, let's do
I'm gonna
something
go this
different.
way.
Yeah.
I'm gonna figure it out to see if I think this is gonna be the best bet for me, and I'll leave and I'll come back when I can.
No, that makes
But
sense.
that's just me. Sorry about that. I get a little long-winded.
Oh no, I tell people I love an educational talk, so I tell people like I can stay there and never get off.
So, hey, back to the book. Can you give us a little snippet of, without telling us exactly what's in the book, of what you talked about?
Absolutely. So in my chapter, I very much try to explore the different dynamics and educational shifts that people take while they're in college. Because it, for me, my like I tell people, like the evolution from when I first got dropped off to graduation looked very different. And although success was in the end, it was not an easy battle by any means. So I think from my chapter, people are really going to be able to pull out the commonalities of like the struggle, the real struggle, like academically, socially. And I feel like there's going to be some commonalities in the sense of there are parts where I had to lean on people that looked and felt like me, that influenced me to do the right thing. And then I also had to pull away from people that looked and felt like me, but were too much like me. And very much we were like, you know, two peas in a pod, but needed that diversity to kind of pull us away and keep us straight. But also when we fail, again, knowing that there were people on campus that were affluent, had accomplished a lot, but still were down to earth enough and wanted the best for us. Like they weren't just professors that were looking like, okay, you're a student and I got to pass so that I can meet a quota. No, these are people that look like us, that it was like, you doing well is also my success. And so my chapter very much captures those intimate moments and sometimes those stories of like, oh my God, is she going to make it? But also seeing the success, because I think a lot of times people talk about like, oh, the struggle or oh, the trial, but they don't, you know, build enough about like it ended up great, you know, like in the end, spoiler alert, she wins. Right. And so, I think that my chapter very much explores like the ups and downs, but also the successes and how I leaned on a lot of people to get there.
Nice. You said the people you leaned on were highly successful.
So
was that intimidating to you at all?
So honestly, what I tell people is it probably would have been intimidating had I been a little bit smarter and like focused and driven. But I very much, unfortunately, came in with this weird myth and misconception, even though I knew that HBCUs produced affluent and successful people. I did let society, and I guess my own just being young and naiveness, I let society make me believe that my HBCU experience was not going to give me a quality education, or it was going to be quality, but I did have that small, like, little, like, PWI devil on my shoulder of, like, oh, you know, you're not going to get as much as you would get if you went to a PWI. So when I finally, you know, arrived and started going to class and matriculating, I realized, like, that myth was completely shattered. You know, there was beyond quality education happening, and there was a wealth of knowledge. I tell people, like, A&T, and I'm sure every HBCU has this diverse networking population that no one on the planet would think of. Like, I tell people now, like, it's so ironic to now look back and see different content creators or authors or doctors, engineers, so many people that I was in a room with, and it's like, oh, you know, like, we're just chatting it up over a space tournament, not realizing like these people are coming with so many different talents and strengths. So it probably should have been intimidating, but at the time, I think I was more of just, I'm just so impressed. And I was also very much, I didn't realize how much I was networking at the time. Mm-hmm. I was really just being my friendly self. But I look back on it now and I'm like, those few moments where people every now and then, I tell people, if you get a chance to go to HBCU, like, don't always go home. And I know that like parents around the world are going to kill me, but like, go to the Midwest. Like, that was some of my best traveling, is like going home with other people and being like, I'm going home with you for Thanksgiving. Like see other things, because I definitely did not realize just how diverse Black looks until I started going home and with other people and saying, wow, you know, like, my Black, we do have some similarities, but there were worlds of differences. And just that to me was amazing to see that, like, you know, some in my house, spaghetti is like a main dish, and your house, spaghetti is a side, and like, it's never gonna make sense over here, but like, I'm gonna eat it in this house, you know, like, so it was really cool to just, you know, network with them. So no, not intimidating, more just motivating and inspiring to know, like, you know, you gotta really like know your stuff, because these HBCU people, they were not, oh, I'm just trying to pass. Like, these were our big competitors. And I, like I said, like, big name people, Dr. Ashley Little, like, and the list goes on. So very, very much so impressed with everyone I met. And I tell people, like, you know, HBCUs are producing top-notch quality people in this world for sure.
That's dope. I have friends from the Bahamas.
Oh. So
we went to the Bahamas one year. They're like, this is so long ago that all we had to have was a birth certificate to get on the plane.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So, yeah. I mean, it is interesting that, like, people just, and I think a lot of students now, not a lot of students, but I tend to see students not expand their horizons a lot. They like, well, I don't want to eat that food because it's nasty. Well, you never had it before. Have you tried it to say? How about you know it's nasty before you just write it all the way off and not have the experience? And I think I see a lot of my friends doing that too, and I'm like, well, if you don't know, you don't know what you don't know, but you already wrote it off as I'm not going to have a good experience doing this or this. And that's what I think college is really l for. A part of it is just meeting new people. And I'm one of those people that like I blend in with any group or any crowd or whatever. So I was always getting invited to people's houses and like one time I went to Colorado, Denver, Colorado, with one of my friends, and she drove a stick shift, and it's like it's you like stick shifts?
Well, I
I didn't
definitely
know
know
how
how
to
to
drive
drive
one.
one. I'll tell people like I burned out a couple clutches in my time, but yes, I can drive a stick shift.
I didn't know how, and she got tired, so she was like, you could just push the this and this, and I'll put it in gear, and you can drive it'll be okay or whatever. And I was like, man, you crazy. Like I can drive, but like I don't know how to get it into first, second, and third. But she
Oh,
talked it
gosh.
through it. I don't know what we did. I don't remember if we had to stop or whatever, but we got there.
You're allowed to tell the story, so I mean,
Yeah,
you
I'm allowed to tell the story.
it.
Yeah. But I've always been one of those people that like I don't it don't matter who you are. You invite me over, hey, you almost like family then. Like let me experience who you hang with and who you came from, because that'll give me a bigger picture of who you are. Just like you said earlier, you can tell by the way your student acts or your kid acts
Yeah.
how you are. So yeah, and that's one of the most interesting things is the people that you meet. And kind of expand on, can you expand on like when you say there's many different blacks or
Yeah.
because I've heard that
Yeah.
before, and I wonder if you could elaborate on that a little bit.
Absolutely. So, again, like, I only know, my experiences, right? So when I show up, one, I'm already very much, oh, I'm anti-bound. Like I said, I'm second generation, but one of many. My cousin had just graduated 2 years before me. So I'm very much like, all we do is go to auntie. Like this is all I know. However, I've had the luxury of living in several different states because, as I mentioned, my father passing required my mom to like go back to school and like get different jobs. So I tell people like I've been up and down the East Coast, but I still only really knew what I knew, and I very much was in my box of like this is what Black looks like to me, so this must be Black in every person's house. So I took those values with me to school because that was all I really lived. Like I very much was just like, in my house, if we're watching a Miss America pageant and there's no more Black pa like contestants, we turn it off because we're rooting for everybody Black. So like that was what I assumed everybody went with. And so when I got to Auntie, the very first thing I remember that like shocked me, or my first encounter with like, okay, all Black doesn't look the same, is people had different religious values, people had different political stances, and that those two right there immediately blew my mind because that was very different than my Black. And so instead of me being shunned or being judgmental, I was the exact opposite. I was beyond curious, to the detriment of my family, because I remember them being like, do not talk to them. They are going to crush you. But
they gonna what?
They're going to corrupt you. They're going to like put you on the other. They were so just, you know, like being concerned, being like those overbearing Black parents of like, you know, mm-hmm. don't listen to that. But I was very curious and I was very interested. So I very much met Black people that were Republicans. And that was my first encounter meeting people that were Republican Blacks. And I was just, you know, so engrossed in their views and how they got there. And so it wasn't a matter of converting. It was just their journey to, uh-huh. to college and their journey to that point looked very different than mine. Although, you know, we looked the same, we had very similar backgrounds. And then I met people, of course, from different parts of life because they lived in different places. That also opened up a different realm of things because I had Aggies and HBCU people that were from New York. And so they came to college and was like, yeah, like, I don't drive. I'm like, you don't drive? What in the world? Like, how did you get there? Like, you know, so like, they're aware. And they're like, yeah, like, we take the subway or we walk. And so it was one of many things. My husband was from Jamaica. And he was like, I didn't get to America till I was 9. And, you know, this mm-hmm. country is still really like, this is not my country. And so he's like, it's a great place, but I see this as just opportunity because my country is this island. And so I was able to really dig deep into a lot of different views and perspectives of what Black looked like. And for that, one, I loved it because it made me reflect on my upbringing and different values I had. But it also shaped my perspective to realize just how magical Black people really were, because we had several commonalities, but there were a lot of differences, and they were mm-hmm. unique to political views and religion, but they were also as small as like Joker, Deuce, Ace in a game of spades. Like it was, you know, on both sides of the spectrum. And I really loved that because it grew me as a person, but it also allowed me, again, like I said, to network my butt off, because there were people that were like, look, like in my city, I don't just vote, I canvass. And I remember being like, wait, what's canvassing? And they're like, oh, we phone bank, like we go door to door. And I'm like, I had never heard of done of that. I'm like, I'm just trying to vote. And they're like, no, like you don't just vote, you get other people to vote. And I'm like, okay. And that was my first level of advocacy from some Midwest Aggies that were like, this is all we know. So mm-hmm. I very much appreciate the diversity. And I tell people, like, if you're feeling like, oh, I can't go to HBCU because everyone there looks like me and it's going to be the same old, it is not. It is very diverse. It is very, and it is a family-oriented space, but it's very motivating because I tell people, like, all Black does not look the same, and in a good way, but there's mm-hmm. a lot of diversity in the Black culture.
Yeah, and we don't see that all the time.
Yeah.
I went to high school and I graduated with only 5 Black people. It was only 5 of us.
Wow.
In my graduating class. So, and then I went to an all white church too. So that I have a different experience.
Yeah.
It was like, I was immersed in the white culture is what I tell people. And then, but I lived the Black experience. So I didn't get the opportunities. I was an athlete and I was a pretty good athlete too, so they treated me a little differently than my friend that wasn't on the team. You know, so even when it comes to like Colin Kaepernick, and I got a whole bunch of white friends, white family, all of that stuff. So when it came to Colin Kaepernick and they were like, well, he was raised by the white people or whatever. Yeah. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't see how they treat him differently than the other Black people.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And he can see that. I could see that, you know, and it's not like blatant or anything like that. But I was like, I just played varsity sports, you know. I wasn't about to go to the league or nothing and almost win a Super Bowl and stuff. But it gave me the opportunity, like my life has given me the opportunity to experience a lot of different people. So when you say that there's a lot of different How do you say it? Because I like how you say it.
Oh, diversity in the Black culture.
That is totally interesting to me because I mean I have a big extended family, so I got a whole bunch of cousins, a bunch of cousins, and now they
Same.
having kids and stuff. So just seeing all of them, their kids, and the different things that they're interested in is amazing. And I believe that Black people, wherever we're at, we're meant to be there, no matter if we if it's an all white area, you know, all white whatever, or all Black wherever. When you get into your purpose and you're walking in your adult life, you are supposed to be where you're at. And I think we change people's perspectives just by our presence. And I know that for a fact because I'm still the only in most of the spaces that I walk and work and volunteer and different things. So just by being present, that is changing the perspective of the little white girls that I teach Zumba to
Yeah.
that get a chance to interact with a heterosexual Black male adult. That, yeah, I don't know. I think that's a lot of there's a lot of power to that because it helps them shape their frame of reference because nobody can just go to them and tell them about who Black people are because they had an experience already
Exactly.
and they can draw from that experience if they want, if they choose to, you know what I mean? But at least they had that experience
Yeah.
and I'm grateful for the walk of life that I've walked because I just walk amongst everybody. I'm like, hey, how you doing? You know, and I'm an introverted person, but just the different fields that I'm in and the different activities that I'm involved in, I get to meet a lot of different people. And for some reason, people think I'm interesting, so they like to talk to me. And I'm like, stop it, stop it. I'm introverted, so I'm trying to get to know you. I like to listen more than I like to talk. But you couldn't tell it on this
Yeah.
podcast. So, pardon my man. So, what are you doing now? And give us a plug the book before we get out of here. And what does success mean to you?
So, I am now currently working as an effectiveness coach. I am
Right.
supporting instructional coaches with Guilford County Schools. I'm supporting 14 different Title I schools. I'm super excited about that work. Definitely think that it's so important for, especially now, HBCU is finally getting the attention it so rightfully deserves. So, definitely think everyone, head to Amazon. Later this month, details are dropping for the due date. But I think this book is a little different. I think that storytelling is powerful, and I think that in this book there are a lot of powerful stories. But I tell people, in my opinion, this book gives me a feel of a recipe book because there's a lot of great gems and power in storytelling. But it's something that you have to apply. So it's not full of just, oh, everything went great. No, life is just full of success. It's very much giving you the recipe of not, oh, we did everything right, but more of like, don't learn from our mistakes and don't make the same like wrong. So when we got it wrong, we rectified it, but it gives you some recipes that you actually have to apply to your life. So definitely grab that, get your hand on it, get two if you can, because all the proceeds go to HBCUs, and we want to make sure that we give back to the university that invested in us. As far as success, oh God, another loaded question. Success to me is building others. So I am most successful when I am creating other leaders and building and investing into the future. So investment to me is building up others through education.
Fabulous. It was a pleasure getting to talk to another fellow educator from kind of a different side, because like I even talked to the instructional coaches, but I didn't know the instructional coaches had
Yeah, the support needs
coaches.
support too. Yeah.
Is such a pleasure, and you are doing great things. Continue doing what you're doing. I appreciate you coming on the podcast, and shoot, have a good one. Is there any other things that you want to say to the audience?
No, thank you so much for having me, Michael. I think this is amazing. I'm super excited to be on here, and I appreciate you having me.
You're welcome. So I'll let you know when the podcast come out, and I'll send you a link and some my social media handles so that you can follow and share those clips from this interview.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Thank you again. This was great.
You're welcome. I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Success is My Religion podcast. Again, partnering with the HBCU Experience Movement. Be on the lookout for the book, the North Carolina A&T State University 3rd edition. It's coming out on Amazon in the next month or so. So go get it when it comes out.